Suzanne.
What are you doing?
Podcast.
Hey, can I ask you a question? In what ways do you think one animal can affect another?
I think there's an animal that the babies, they have to like be really protected because other grown-ups, I think it might be lizards, they might be not protected because big lizards, I think they eat baby lizards, I think.
Maybe like a tiger maybe would eat maybe like a little rabbit, and then maybe like an anteater or something, or an armadillo would see them and like, oh, that might be tasty, I'll try to eat a rabbit, yum, oh, that's really yummy, I'm gonna keep eating them.
Yikes, the animal world can be cruel for sure. Well, today on Ecolution, oh yes, hi and welcome back to Ecolution. Today we're going to be talking all about balance. And not like the time producer Nikki tried to show off and keep upright on a log.
My leg.
Ugh. Nope. We're going to talk about ecological balance. What happens when a building block goes missing, but also what happens when you put it back.
So my name's Colin Lawton. I'm a lecturer here in the University of Galway in zoology. So I teach on ecology and conservation mainly, but I also conduct research as part of my work. Usually along with some students, we've worked on lots of different animals, but mainly mammals. And being in Ireland, those are the mammals we'd recognise, like squirrels, foxes, hedgehogs, stoats. We've done a lot of work on pine marten as well. Some of the work we'd do would be conservation-based. Others would be looking at pest species and how we can manage the problems they cause and so on.
Like Emily Fairfax in our episode on beavers, and actually almost all the experts we speak with, Colin's work with animals started young.
Well, I've always really loved animals, and I remember my parents, like a number of things when I was very young, where my mum and my dad would have been particularly looking after animals and being very caring of them. Like a lot of kids, I wanted to be a vet when I was younger, but then when I was in school, and I was studying biology, I realized it was more wild animals and conservation that I was particularly interested in. And it was mainly through learning about the subject that I moved in that direction. I've been lucky to travel to the jungles of India and the deserts of Arizona. But at the moment, we've got quite a lot of work in a collaboration with the university in Morocco. And so we bring a group of students every year. We have done a lot of research projects there in the last few years. We've had projects on the reptiles, scorpions and spiders, lots of sort of cool and interesting animals that we don't have here in Ireland. But yeah, most of the work that I've done with my PhD students has been based in Ireland.
I mean, what we see as normal in terms of nature here doesn't seem as exotic as all that. But there's a reason why certain creatures call Ireland home. In a study carried out by the National Parks and Wildlife Service, we found out Ireland hosts almost 20,000 different types of fauna, from sea life to mammals, insects to birds. But not all of these creatures originated here. Not all are native species.
Well, native species is a species that effectively has arrived in Ireland without any help from humans. That would be the most simple explanation of it. So we are talking about animals and plants that got here naturally that weren't brought in by humans. Sometimes humans bring things in deliberately because they think it would be a nice thing to bring into Ireland. Other times animals and plants have arrived accidentally. We get stowaways, rats and mice have followed humans everywhere they've gone around the world. But a native animal is, as they say, one that got here naturally. The problem is that some of those that have been here for a long time, it can be really difficult. We don't know whether they got in by some of the earliest settlers to Ireland or whether they got in themselves after the Ice Age. But really, when they've been here for a long time, it usually doesn't matter. We consider them naturalized. So, for example, we know that the hedgehog was introduced about 1,000 years ago, probably when the Normans were coming to Ireland. So they wouldn't be theoretically a native animal. But they came in, there's an empty niche, basically a role for them in our ecosystems. And so they're not causing any problems. And so we're quite happy to have them here. The ones that we really worry about are the introduced animals and specifically the invasive animals, which are ones that are causing a problem that are not supposed to be here and are, either impacting on our native species or are causing some problem for humans.
Interesting. What does our brain trust think? Why might it be a problem for a strange creature to move here?
It could be bad for the environment.
It might be a colder country and maybe they might be used to warm countries. They might feel a little bit cold.
A desert animal, such as a snake, goes into Ireland, which is cold. The snake might not be able to live.
Like, if a penguin goes all the way to a very hot country like Spain, it has a very low chance of surviving.
They might not be used to the food, maybe.
They might, like, spread, so then there'll be too much of that animal in that country, and then the other species will not get, like, their own homes or something.
They might want to eat that species, so if they keep eating it, then that species of Ireland might kind of drop, or maybe it's the other way around
because it's not in its natural habitat.
They might have a disease that the other animals don't know and are not immune to them.
They might take over another animal, or they might not be able to coexist with the environment.
Maybe the animals that are in the country that the animal was brought over to don't know the animal, and then they start fighting that animal.
They might be able to eat all their food before them. They might be able to do anything. They might be able to eat them. They might be able to kill them.
It disrupts the food chain, and if the food chain collapses, everything dies.
There's different types of animals in every country, and maybe in one country these animals are weak, so maybe they bring in a stronger one and they eat all the animals, and we won't have any food. Like if they eat like a pig, we won't have any ham, and like chickens and all that.
They will be so sad because they are pulled away from their home, huh?
An invasive species is a species that has been introduced, it's established itself in a new country and then has started to spread. And as it spreads, it causes issues. It can be a number of ways they can cause a problem. Very often they cause a problem for native animals because we talk about something called the niche, which is effectively the job or the role that an animal has in an ecosystem. And if there isn't an empty niche for this new species, it basically has to elbow its way in and create space for itself. And by doing that, it's nudging other things out of the way. And so native species that are used to having all the food and resources, for example, to themselves, are suddenly having to compete for those resources with this new invasive species. On the other side, you can have an animal that comes in that's a carnivore that wants to find prey to feed on. And in doing so, it's eating things that aren't able to escape from them and are basically going to be sort of, well, eaten. So they're not going to survive. Then you can get invasive species that are causing problems in other ways. It could be that they're causing problems for farmers or people who have chickens, for example, are being eaten by mink. Or if we talk about rats and mice, they can spread disease. They can wee and poop everywhere and contaminate food and so on. Yeah, these are the sort of problems that then we're having to deal with.
Of course, there's a long, long history of species being poorly affected by invaders. And often it's us humans that have aided the invasion.
It's a story that has repeated itself time and time again. The dodo, when it went extinct, the European settlers arrived. They bring cats and rats and macaque monkeys, and all of these things impacted on the dodo. There was another bird or several other birds that went the same way, but the dodo is the famous example. In New Zealand, there is a possum that's been introduced there. And I wrote a paper with a New Zealand researcher where we compared what the grey squirrel had done in Ireland with what this possum had done in New Zealand. And it was almost a sort of mirror impact where the way they had arrived, the way they had spread, and the impact that they had caused were very, very similar in both places.
And that brings us to the main topic of today. All good stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And most of us like stories that have a happy ending. But strap in, because this one is a bit of a roller coaster. It's the story of Ireland's red squirrel.
Red squirrels are diurnal animals. That means they're active during the day, just like ourselves. But they tend to wake up very, very early, and they're most active in the couple of hours after dawn, and then they might rest up for much of the day and then get a bit more active in the evening again. But basically, red squirrels are going to be found in woodlands. They're going to spend most of their time up in the canopy. They only come down to the ground when they absolutely have to, and they'll gather food. They'll eat whatever they want, and then they scatter hoard the rest of it. They basically bury the nuts wherever they can. They're very bad memories, and so they do an awful lot of good for their forest because they're basically planting future trees for the forest. Other than that, then, it's just a case of surviving and keeping on going, and they have times a year which are better than others. Obviously, the autumn, when there's lots of sort of nuts and seeds around, are their favourite time. They don't hibernate, so they're active during the winter. They might not come out as much, but they're still active every day. But they may be relying more on that hoarded food rather than what's available at the time.
So far, so cute. I wonder if that packet of crisps I hoarded away is still in my secret stash. Sorry, back to the native red squirrel.
The red squirrels are the only native squirrel here.
It's orangish red.
The red squirrel is considered one of our native species. We don't really know how they got here, but it would have been around about the time of the end of the last ice age, which is about 10,000 years ago. As the ice retreated, there were some land bridges going across to Britain. It may be that they had survived in pockets. Some animals survived here during the ice age, like stoats and Irish hares, but it's unlikely with the red squirrels. We think they managed to get in just as the whole event was ending. So they've been in Ireland for a long time, but before we even consider the problems that grey squirrels cause for red squirrels first and foremost need to have woodland to live in. And Ireland is still the least wooded country in the entire of Europe. All the way through our history, there's been a lack of woodland for squirrels. So they've always had this up and down fortune, if you like. They've had good times and bad times. We believe they're a native species, and they remained on the island. They were doing okay until around the 17th century, when there were a number of events that happened that caused the woodland to almost disappear completely in Ireland. Ireland was invaded. Cromwell came over with his men, as well as many other things that they did. They cut down a lot of forest in order to build ships. And also they were hunting wolves in particular. We lost the wolves. Wolves went extinct at that time. And we believe our red squirrel went extinct around that time as well. The woodland in Ireland dropped to around about 1% or 2%, so about a sixth of what we have now. And there just wasn't enough woodland for the squirrels. So they almost completely disappeared at that time.
Told you it was a roller coaster. Sounds like being a red squirrel is a bit of a fight to survive.
If you're not eating, you're trying not to be eaten is the sort of golden rule. And then if you get the opportunity, you're trying to have a family and create more little squirrels. But generally, it's just a case of finding enough food day by day to keep going through the next day.
So far, so sad. We're ready for a twist in the story, right? Enter the grey squirrel.
It's a very unusual circumstance with the grey squirrel in that they're an introduced species that became invasive, but we know exactly when and where they were introduced. So it was in 1911 in a place called Castle Forbes in County Longford. The story goes that there was some sort of garden party, and one of the sort of gifts being presented were these six pairs of grey squirrels. They would have opened up the baskets and the squirrels ran out into the woodland, and everybody would have cooed and said, isn't that lovely? And then over the next number of years, there's a journal called the Irish Naturalist Journal that has been going for a long, long time. And there's letters to the editor there where people in neighbouring areas in County Westmeath and then in Meath and then up in Fermanagh are telling the editor, we have these new grey squirrels have suddenly started arriving. And we can actually trace the spread of this grey squirrel as it established and then began to move through the eastern half of Ireland. They didn't move west. They never quite got past the River Shannon. And if they did, they found, you think of the west of Ireland, sort of stone walls and big open bogs. It just didn't allow them to travel through the countryside the way they can travel through hedgerows and so on in the east of the country. So they spread and over the next 100 years or so took over much of the eastern half of Ireland. And as they did, we start to see the loss of red squirrels from a number of areas. So the red squirrels and the grey squirrels There's no interference between them. The grey squirrels don't attack them in any way. They'd actually mutually ignore each other if they're in the same woodland. But the grey squirrels are much bigger. They're eating a lot of the food. They also are lazy and they don't scatter hoard. They just eat the food that the red squirrels are burying in different places. And so it was generally competition that was causing the red squirrels to lose out. They can't compete with this new animal.
Grey squirrels, I think they carry a disease, so they might make the red squirrels sick.
The grey squirrels bring a disease over, which killed a load of the red squirrels because they're not native to here.
They're an invasive species. When a country brings another species to their country and that animal kind of takes over, like grey squirrels almost took over the red squirrels' population.
We discovered more recently that not only that, but the grey squirrels have carry a virus called squirrel pox virus that is deadly to reds, but doesn't actually affect the greys, or at least not in a way that we notice. When red squirrels become infected with this disease, they just die, that they can't survive it. And so when you put the two things together, the competition and the disease, the red squirrels didn't have a chance. So we lost a large number of our red squirrels. And for a long time, it felt that this was a one-way story. There was no happy ending to it. In fact, people were saying to me, why are you bothering with squirrels? There's nothing we can do for the red squirrel. But we started to spot something happening in the Midlands of Ireland. Just in these surveys, these citizen science surveys where people are telling us what they see, we started to hear, we haven't seen as many grey squirrels recently. And that led us to the work that we did on the two species and the pine marten as well.
How intriguing. What could account for this drop in grey squirrel numbers? What about an apex predator?
Well, an apex predator is a predator that is at the top of the food chain, basically. It's an animal that doesn't have to worry about something eating it because it's the biggest thing that's eating everything beneath it. Sort of sub-Saharan Africa, we might be talking about leopards or lions, and in Asia, we might be talking about tigers. But in Ireland, we don't have those sort of very, very big carnivores. So our biggest carnivores are the pine marten and the fox, and perhaps the otter as well, although they're in a sort of different system in river systems and so on. But in a woodland, it would be the pine marten and the fox. In other countries, though, the pine marten and fox wouldn't be apex predators. They'd be what we call meso predator, which literally means middle predator. So they're animals that are eating things beneath them, but also have to watch their backs as well. They could get eaten themselves. But the pine marten and fox don't have anything that would eat them in Ireland.
And it's the pine marten that offers yet another twist in the tale. Get it? Tail? Honestly.
Pine martens are eating a grey squirrel so the red squirrels can come back in Ireland.
Pine martens are arboreal animals, which means that they live up in trees. So they're very unusual for a carnivore because there are only mammal carnivore that can climb trees. They tend to be found in woodlands and also countryside around woodlands and so on. And they were doing okay in Ireland for a number of years, but they cause problems in a lot of ways, particularly for people who farm chickens and are raising pheasants.
My nanny used to have chickens, and then one night something happened. It was either a fox or some animal that if you kind of scare a chicken, like make it have a really, really big fright, it might have a heart attack and die. And it happened to my nanny's chickens.
Oh, no.
And now they're gone.
If a pine marten gets into an enclosure with chickens or pheasants in it, rather than killing one animal and then running away, it'll kill a lot of them. And this is a behavior that's known as cache killing, or basically surplus killing. In the wild, if an animal gets an opportunity, it'll do all the killing first and then it'll come back over a number of days to feed on what's left behind. So in this unnatural situation where you've got all these animals cooped together, they go nuts and they eat everything they can get hold of. Of course, that means a great problem for the farmers and so on. So for a long time, pine martens were being hunted basically because they were considered to be a problem, a vermin animal. So they'd almost disappeared completely. They'd become almost mythical. We'd hear about them, but we'd never see them. And they were one of the animals that became protected when the Irish Wildlife Act was put together in 1976. So that was a piece of legislation that protected animals in Ireland, and it really works. And people are very well behaved, and it was now illegal to kill pine martens, and so they were being left alone. They're a very long-lived, slow-breeding animal, and so it takes a long time for them to recover. But they've slowly started to recover, and as they recovered, they were spreading from a few places where they were still found, like the Burn in County Clare was a big sort of last refuge for them. And so it's taken this long since, 50 years now, for the pine marten to get back to its sort of previous numbers. They're really doing well here in Ireland. We'd see denser populations than we have anywhere else in their range across Europe. And as they've gone, they've had this surprise bonus benefit to them in that they've had this impact on the grey squirrels. And we've seen the grey squirrels starting to disappear from a lot of places. So we thought the grey squirrel was here to stay. We thought the red squirrel didn't have a chance. And all of a sudden, the grey squirrels started to disappear. And it's happened in a really quick, from an ecological point of view, a really quick amount of time. Surveys that we did in 2012, then 2019, and we're just doing the latest one at the moment. We've seen a collapse in the grey squirrel population in much of the middle of Ireland. And that's where the pine marten is currently at its densest population. So it's a really good news story, and the impact that the pine marten has had on the grey squirrel doesn't seem to affect the red squirrel in the same way. So the grey squirrels disappear, the red squirrels actually make a comeback and are happy to live alongside the pine marten, whereas the grey squirrel can't cope.
But if they're bigger and stronger than the red squirrel, how come the grey squirrels are seeing a downturn?
We were trying to work out what was happening. Why was the pine marten able to catch grey squirrels and have such an impact in such a short amount of time, but not the red squirrel? There were two things that we thought might have been happening there. Either the grey squirrels were so freaked out by this new predator that they didn't recognise, that they stopped feeding properly, they just ran away from areas and so on, or that they were so naive or so unaware of the dangers that they didn't run away from the pine marten. So those were the two theories we had, and we've got an awful lot of evidence now that shows us that the grey squirrel just isn't aware of the dangers of a pine marten. They don't seem to recognise them as a predator. If we look in their native land where they come from in America, there isn't a predator like the pine marten there. And so we've seen at feeding stations where we've got cameras set up that grey squirrels will not run away when a pine marten approaches. The red squirrel won't even come back to that feeding station for 48 hours afterwards. They just stay well away from them. There are certain differences. There's a lot of similarities between greys and red squirrels. Grey squirrels will spend more time on the ground. It's possible they may build their nests just closer to the tree trunks and so on. In general, they just make themselves easier to catch. The red squirrel has evolved alongside the pine marten in Ireland for a couple of thousand years at least. They seem to be in more of a balance. The pine marten will still eat red squirrels if they get hold of them, but it's in a very small number, and the red squirrel population isn't affected. So the grey squirrels, they're eaten in such a heavy number that their population just crashes.
Like the beavers Emily studies, the pine marten is an example of one creature that has many effects on the broader ecosystem, a keystone species.
What we have here is one native animal making a recovery and bringing the Irish ecosystem back to where it should be. So we now have this carnivore that was missing from our population when the grey squirrel boomed is suddenly back and is bringing things back to order. And in doing so, it's allowing another animal that it will feed on if it gets the chance to recover. It's a fantastic news story. You've got one native species that's saving another native species at the same time. And it shows just how beneficial conservation can be across the whole ecosystem, not just for one species.
So, sticking with the fairy tale theme, do we get our happy ending?
So we've seen huge increases in the red squirrel range and huge decreases or crashes in the grey squirrels. At one stage, this would have been maybe 20 years ago, we estimated that there were about 100,000 grey squirrels in Ireland and about 25,000 maybe red squirrels. And now I would say there's more red squirrels than there are grey squirrels across the whole island. So we've seen a complete swap over. You're still going to have huge numbers of grey squirrels in certain places. So they're very good at surviving in parks and where red squirrels aren't so happy. And so in Belfast and Dublin in particular, we've got very, very dense grey squirrel populations, and that's a place that pine martens just aren't going to get into. They're not going to get into urban areas. So it's not a case of the grey squirrels just disappearing altogether. But in the countryside, across most of the middle of Ireland, we've seen a huge reversal of fortunes.
Yay for reversing fortunes! And red squirrels. Huge thanks to Dr. Colin Lawton, whose work with the Ryan Institute at the University of Galway is helping chart so many stories of biodiversity, the wins and the losses. And thanks, as always, to our Brain Trust. I am very relieved that this is one of the good news stories we can tell on Ecolution. The kind of nature story that seems rare. But it's one example that shows, with direct action, that we have the power to have countless knock-on effects within the natural world. Often bad, but always with the potential to do good. And we want to strengthen that good potential by sharing what we know and how we feel about it.
I mean, my job is mainly about education. I am a teacher, and first and foremost, I teach students about zoology. But we really need to get the message out there. And it's only when we're able to inform people of the animals that need help, the animals that we want to avoid that cause problems, that we're actually able to make a fundamental difference at a sort of island-wide level. We have a biodiversity crisis going on at the moment that's going alongside the climate crisis. The climate crisis does get quite a lot of airplay in the news. Biodiversity crisis really isn't being talked about enough, and we're risking going into a mass extinction where you lose 50% of all animal species. We can stop that from happening, but not just a few people doing research. We need everybody involved, and we need people to let their politicians and let their business leaders and all the different heads of society know how important it is to them. So anything that can spread that message is a good message to spread.
Ecolution is produced by Nikki Coughlin with edit assistance on this episode from Austin Kenny. And it's presented by me, Evie Kenny.